Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In 1996, the Summer Olympics were on their way in Atlanta. People from all over the world had converged on the city either to participate or to watch some of the finest athletes in the world competing in 26 different sports. 18 days into those games, however, Eric Rudolph detonated pipe bombs at Centennial Olympic Park. The blast killed one person and injured 111 others. It was the first of four bombings that Rudolph would commit between 1996 and 97. Rudolph eluded capture for years, but then was finally arrested in North Carolina in 2003. 2 years after that, he pleaded guilty to all four bombings. But before anyone ever knew the name Eric Robert Rudolph, the FBI identified an Atlanta security guard named Richard Jewell as a person of interest, largely because he was something of a loner, kinda, sorta fit a profile of a lone bomber. The media had a field day with it, portraying Jewell as a failed law enforcement officer who may have planted the bomb so that he could find it and be hailed as a hero. It was all false witness. Once the dust settled, it was clear that Jewell was, in fact, a real hero. He had spotted the suspicious backpack, he had alerted the authorities, and he worked alongside them to evacuate the area in the 13 minutes before that bomb exploded. Without a doubt, the number of casualties was greatly reduced because of Richard Jewell's actions. Unfortunately, the damage has already been done to Jewell's reputation. His name has now forever been connected to that Centennial Park bombing, and if you would ask people 2 or 3 years after it happened who the bomber was, inevitably they would mention his name, even though his name had been clear. Words and accusations carelessly leveled had had their effect. God, in his wisdom, has invested power in words. With his word, he created everything that exists. With his word, he brings us to life in Jesus and calls us to be members of his family. Eternal life comes to us through words. Words from Jesus, words about Jesus. Like power tools, we can use words to quickly build up people or tear them down. They can be highly effective at both tasks. So it makes sense that God warns us about the importance of using words properly. He gives us two commandments that speak to this. In the second commandment, he talks about how we use words in our relationship to him, how we use his name and how we speak about his name in our lives with one another. We are meant to use our words to pray, praise, and give thanks to our Heavenly Father. What a blessing that is. On the other hand, God warns us against using words to dishonor his name or misrepresent his truth to others. Then later, in our lives with one another, God gives us the eighth commandment, commanding us not to bear false witness or false testimony against our neighbor. In confirmation class, we often talk about all the ways that we can use our words to either hurt or to help the people around us. On one hand, we can gossip and whisper about other people, we can tear them down, or we can defend others We can uphold their reputations as we put the best construction on things and try to give others the benefit of the doubt when possible. These are some of the daily ways that we rub up against this commandment. They are valid applications. But one of the most basic applications of the Eighth Commandment applies to witness or testimony that we would give in a court of law, a public legal setting. That's, in fact, the bare language of the commandment itself. And we see in this particular gospel reading a glaring instance of how this command from God is utterly disregarded in the course of our Lord's passion. Last week, we considered the events of Judas Iscariot's betrayal of Jesus. Now, Jesus has been arrested. He's been dragged off to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the religious leaders were already gathered and prepared for a trial in the middle of the night, which should already give us a clue that things are not going to be on the up and up. Matthew describes what happens next in language that frankly should surprise us. This is from Matthew 26, verses 59 and 60. Now the chief priests and the whole council kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. They did not find any, even though many false witnesses came forward. It's worth stopping just for a moment, considering those two verses. These religious leaders were actively looking for someone to lie under oath so that they could put Jesus to death. And we people were even willing to give such false witness. How evil do you have to be to seek out liars in order to kill somebody? How evil do you have to be in order to offer to be the liar so that someone might be sent to their death? Well, I'm guessing that none of you have been put quite in that position, being asked to lie under oath in order to get someone executed. Our run-ins with the Eighth Commandment feel a lot more innocuous than that. They don't cost people their lives, just their reputations, their good name. They don't cost people their lives, just the trust that defines our relationships. Our words don't put people in physical danger. They just put people in spiritual danger. Well, on second thought, maybe our words do get us into trouble. On one hand, we use them to share what is not ours to share. On the other hand, we fail to use them to defend those whose reputations are under attack. And in both cases, we underestimate the importance of the words that we speak. And the world, as a result, becomes a darker place, not a brighter one. So what hope do we have then? What hope is there for a world full of people whose native language consists of self-serving, partial truths? Who will save us from ourselves and from the miserable existence that we rightly deserve? The one who tells the truth. The one who is the truth. Our hope rests in the one who spoke what was true, even though he knew it would cost him his life. We hear it in Matthew 26, starting at verse 63. The high priest says to Jesus, "I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." When the time is just right, Jesus reveals his true identity to the religious leaders. A revelation that would gain him a death sentence. And yet, a death sentence was always at the core of his true identity. To be the Messiah, to be the Son of God, meant that death was always going to be part of the plan. We hear it in Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? We hear it in Isaiah 53, for he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. By his wounds we are healed. In fact, we can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 and hear it. When God tells Adam and Eve that the serpent will strike the chosen offspring's heel. Jesus will not use his words to weasel out of his mission. He will not use his words to build himself up at the expense of others. No. He speaks truth right up to the end. Truth that leads him to a cross. Truth that sets us free. And now, risen from the dead, Jesus continues to speak truth into our lives to the very present day. You heard the truth earlier today in this service. Your sin is forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You're hearing that truth right now as we have the opportunity to meditate on God's Word together. You're going to hear those true, life-giving words in just a short moment as we gather at this table and Jesus says to you and to me again today, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you. Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins." Jesus continues to speak the truth into our lives. He continues to be the faithful witness. And as we believe that truth, he sets us free to be a different kind of people, a bolder people, more honest people, more compassionate people, people who bear true witness to a new king and who use our words to care for, to defend, to teach, and to build up those that God entrusts to us. So return today. Return to the Lord. Return to the purpose for which God gave you a voice. Return to praise his name, to proclaim his truth, to speak in love for those whom he came to save. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds today and always. In Christ Jesus, the faithful and true witness. Amen.